Welcome back for another episode of RBP. It's me, Ross Bolin, back again with Jared Borslow, also known as J-Bone. Jared, holler at the people so they know what you sound like.
Hey, I need to start off the show with a public service announcement.
Okay, PSA?
Yeah, I need you all to stop referring to me as Cuctus Jack. Yeah, it's funny. Cactus Jack. Oh, Jared's cuck. Cuctus. Stop.
Yeah, people are always comparing you to Travis Scott.
I need you to stop doing this because it's really hurting my self-esteem.
Cuctus Jack.
And it's just not funny. I don't like it. So stop calling me Cuctus Jack, please.
There's bigger problems in the world today, Jared. We're going to talk about a lot of them. Some crazy stories to discuss and revel in.
Is one of them how I won my second ever diamond tournament in Rocket League last night?
No. But is that actually a thing that happened?
Oh, yeah. I 2 minutes in to overtime in the third game of the championships. It's best of three.
It's a video game.
I scored a goal, and my team won.
In a video game.
My team's name was J-Bone. It was huge. It was a video game.
Video game team.
Now, this is real life stuff we're about to talk about today, right?
Sure, some of it.
Okay.
The humans are at it again. We are really back in full force. The pandemic is over. I told y'all music was back. That festivals are back. I bought tickets this morning to see Rod Wave, one of my current favorite artists, in Austin at the end of August. It's Stubbs, one of my favorite venues in the city that I haven't been to in years, in fact. I'm very excited. I'm stoked. Shouts to Rod Wave and all sad boys. It turns out, Jared, raves are back as well.
Okay.
And a redneck rave in Kentucky went horribly awry. Just about as wrong as a rave can go, I think. Without literally, like, every single attendee dying.
I mean, redneck and rave together. Like, you have two crazy, amazing, like, concepts battling it out.
But conflicting cultural concepts, you would think.
Yeah,
I didn't know the rednecks embraced the rave, but in a post-pandy world, maybe these are two things that can coexist. It turns out they can't.
Now, are the party drugs that rednecks are using at a rave, like, rave party drugs or redneck party drugs?
Prepare to find out.
Okay.
From America's Paper, The New York Post. A redneck rave in Kentucky got rowdy with reports of a man's throat slit, a woman choked in a fight over a blanket, and a man impaled on a branch.
What does that mean?
We will get to that as well. 48 people were charged, 14 arrested, and others were injured in a list of bizarre accidents at a five-day festival in Mammoth Cave, billed as, quote, the biggest country event you'll ever go to, end quote, according to WKNY. 5 days is too many days for a redneck rave. Raves are meant to be one-night events, typically. Stretching into a multi-night event is just asking for people to get impaled by branches and choked over blankets and their throats slit, frankly, because, you know, psychosis sets in at some point when you're just ingesting MDMA and not sleeping, and I can only assume listening to, like, the techno version of hit Tim McGraw songs.
The only techno country song I know is Cotton Eye Joe. Is that what they're listening to on repeat?
You think it's just Cotton Eye Joe over and over, and then that's why everyone loses their minds and ends up committing felonies? Because that would drive me to commit a felony. One round through of Cotton Eye Joe is almost enough to drive a man insane.
Yeah.
Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe. Who the fuck wrote that song? What a dick.
I actually.
And why are they playing it at roller rinks so often? Why is that the number one place that Cotton Eye Joe gets played?
So I saw somewhere, I think it was TikTok, that there's actually like a hidden meaning behind the song Cotton Eye Joe.
Please tell me it's not like super racist or something.
It's not, but sadly, I don't remember what it's about.
It can't be good that there was a hidden meaning. The hidden meaning wasn't like, bring world peace. Nobody's ever written that song with a fucking hitting. That's just up front.
Maybe Cotton Eye Joe is an STD, if I'm remembering correctly.
Where did you come from? Where did you go? That would make sense. You wake up with the STD. Where did you come from? One day it's gone. Where did you go? Maybe it was about the herp. That comes and goes.
I bet you there's a lot of herpes transmitted at the redneck rave.
There probably was. I'll continue with the New York Post here. In one of the strangest incidents of the music-themed rave was a man whose throat was slit by a, quote, friend.
Yeah, me and my homies are always just slitting each other's throats.
Hey, how much methamphetamine-based ecstasy do you have to take before you start slitting your friend's throats? Too many, three hits, I think, before you get to cutting throats. Dude, what? at a music festival? Somebody cut somebody else's fucking throat?
Maybe it was like a joke. Like he had, you know, I feel like right next. Yeah.
And then the beat dropped and he just went, just like by accident. Oh my God, though. This is a horrible. Can you imagine being at this festival and, you know, they're doing, what's one of Tim McGraw's best songs? Let's just Google.
Red Solo Cup.
Tim McGraw. That is, what the fuck is wrong with you? That's insulting to Tim McGraw. Take that back. That's not a funny joke, Jared.
I don't know any songs by Tim McGraw.
Damn it, Jared. Shit. My next 30 years. You're listening to the, my next 30 years will be the best years of my life. You've heard that song. You're listening to the rave version of that, which I can only assume is super intense. And then the beat drops and you accidentally slit your boy's throat. It's this tale as old as time.
Are we talking like slit the windpipe? Slit the, like, did he hit the jugular? Or
did he saw it clean off like a terrorist?
I don't know.
Let's find out. God, this just gets worse and worse and worse. The Lexington Herald Leader reported on Tuesday that the questionable pal is still at large. I don't think that's a good enough term for him. He slit his friend's throat. Questionable pal?
Wait, how is he?
A questionable pal is somebody who, like, you know, pours a drink without asking or something. That's questionable behavior. Slitting your boy's throat, it doesn't, you're falling out of the pal category. I'm not your pal guy.
Now, is he on the run forever? Because they know who he is. It's this guy's friend.
I'm not your buddy, pal. I really don't know. I've never understood committing heinous crimes and then bouncing, because I deal with too much anxiety on a day-to-day to possibly live that life. I'm going straight to the police station. I'd much rather be in the comfort of the cell knowing what's going to happen to me than out on the run, you know, in the woods or wherever. What are you even, fucking motels? Nah, I'm not sitting in a hotel room. There's no good stories in there.
Do you wait out the statute of limitations? Is that his plan?
I don't know what these people, I think they plan on crossing a border one way or the other, but can you even do that in 2021? I thought all the borders were locked down. None of us were allowed to go anywhere anymore.
My brother's actually going to France next week.
Français? Mm-hmm. Parlez-vous français? I don't.
He doesn't either.
Mm. My mom does.
Really?
Yeah, I think she took French for like several years.
I have a degree in Spanish.
Or she did, I don't know. She's, you know, she's in her 60s now. I don't know if she still speaks it. That was like college. She spoke it when I was younger, let me put it that way.
I have a Spanish degree.
Also plays the piano, my mom.
And I have a Spanish degree.
Two things I can't do. Jared has a Spanish degree. You play an instrument?
I have played many. I currently own a 12-string guitar,
okay,
a 6-string guitar.
Okay, are you good at any instrument?
Yes.
Which one?
Well, fingerstyle guitar, I've been known to dabble. I can play Drifting by Andy McKee and
Okay, so you
Ocean.
Can actually play some songs.
I told you, I can play Ocean by John Butler Trio, and you never made me play
it
for you.
Don't, Jared, I don't know who these people are. I only know the last song because it's the mental health one or whatever.
Well, I know that song, and I can play it for you.
Kind of an amazing song, is it not?
Unbelievable. It took me like 6 months straight of learning.
Can I make you bring your little, what is it, kind of guitar?
It's a 12-string, but John Butler plays it with 11 strings. He cuts one of the strings off.
Sure. 12-string guitar, bring it over here, film it, and put it on Patreon for people?
Yeah, I'll have to practice for a while, but I can do that.
For a while? Okay, well, we'll just talk off mic about how many man hours we're talking here, because, you know, that could affect the impact of the business or whatever. Sure, sure. Anyway, that's another thing to talk about later. Accidents included a man who drove a vehicle over a 2 or 3 inch thick log. Why 2 or 3 inch? How is a log only 2 or 3 inch? A small stick, and ended up with it piercing his abdomen.
I'm trying to think of how this works. Imagine
2 or 3 inch thick. You know, so we're talking, but it's a substantial stick is what it sounds like. They didn't know where to qualify it as a stick, as a log. It's somewhere in between. It impaled him is the point.
Now, they just said it drove a vehicle. Now, this is a redneck rave. I'm assuming it was a jazzy.
Yes. Edmondson County Sheriff Shane Doyle told the Herald Leader, when it tried to come out through his back, it was stopped by a steel plate in his seat. Thank you for the detail, Sheriff Doyle. The man was transported to the hospital with the branch still inside him.
So it went all the way through him.
Yeah, but it's one of the things about being impaled by anything. They can't just, like, take it out, because, you know, you'll fucking die.
Rest in peace, Steve Irwin.
Mm. So they have to take you to a hospital. That's what it's called. And then they have to, like, I still don't understand how it works, though. So let's say, you know, you're impaled. Like, they pull it out, but then there's just a hole straight through your body, right?
Yeah.
So, like, how do they get rid of that hole? What, do they stuff you full of Play-Doh? Like, what happens there?
Why is Play-Doh the thing I was going to say?
I just don't think we have that many good options for stuffing.
You know what? I'm pretty sure, wasn't it like sticky tack was originally made for like medical purposes or something like that?
I mean, pillows are filled with feathers. You can't just fill those with feathers, though. That'll be a pain in the ass to get back out when the healing begins or whatever. But do you understand my question?
Yeah.
Like, if I put a cannonball through you, okay, just a stick. You can't recover from a cannonball. But theoretically, maybe you fucking could. Isn't it taking out, like, vital shit when it pushes through you and punching that vital shit out the other side? Or is that vital shit all moving out around the stick?
It might move out of the way. You know, like, boys, get out of the way.
Get out of the way. There's a stick coming.
Pancreas, no.
No.
Gallbladder, you can die, you bitch.
Yeah, there's a couple useless things in there. They push toward it.
Throw the gallbladder towards it.
Why are all of our Scottish and broken Scottish accents? Another man, back to the festival, the redneck rave, excuse me. Another man lost part of a finger when a car crushed his hand.
Okay.
That event was held June 16th to 20th in Blue Holler Off-Road Park. Had thousands attending, which overwhelmed the sparsely populated region, the sheriff said. The town where the event was held doesn't have a traffic light, and the county is a dry county. The Herald Leader reported. When deputies set up a traffic stop outside the event, they made an arrest on the first stop. The very first. Finding meth and marijuana during a search, the sheriff told the newspaper. Two of the passengers had active arrest warrants, he added. Stop number one. They were like, all right, we should at least set up a checkpoint. First car pulls up. Marijuana, methamphetamine, two arrest warrants. What? That's not a good batting average at all.
Okay, I still don't. So it's a dry county, meaning you can't buy alcohol there.
Yes.
Are there any, you can still drink alcohol, right? Is that how dry county works?
I think it depends on how dry. There's two kinds of dry. Dry, like where you can't have it, and then dry, where you can't buy it, but you can bring it in.
And if, I'm assuming, you know, if it's a dry county, you can't drink in the park legally. So couldn't they just have arrested everybody also for drinking alcohol in a park?
I mean, it seems like it, right? But it's funny that after the first traffic stop, the sheriff's quote was, we were like, well, this doesn't bode well for the weekend.
Was this a TikTok thing? Was this organized on TikTok? It has all the makings of organized on TikTok.
You think the rednecks organized a rave on TikTok? Have you seen photos of the people from this fucking event, Jared? There's a woman in one of the photos from the event holding a cardboard sign. Written on the sign says, take a shot of my breast milk.
Would you?
Yes. If I was at a redneck rave? Oh, yeah, dude. I'm taking a shot of that. Breast milk, you made my day.
What the fuck was that a reference to?
Can't tell you.
Called a white redneck, right?
It's from Chappelle's Show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There were 6 felony charges in total. 30 of the charges were on drugs and alcohol. 63 traffic citations were also issued. A Facebook post on the group's page called the event a success. Another redneck rave is scheduled in October, according to the post. Redneck rave, man. That's where we're at in 2021. They're out there getting it, slitting throats. Just one woman got choked out over a blanket. In all seriousness, though, like if you're in some kind of a, what I can only assume is worse than Firefest scenario called a redneck rave, you got to do what you got to do for a blanket. I'll Wayne Brady a bitch for a blanket at that point.
We actually did something kind of like this in college. We rented out.
You guys choked out a woman for a blanket?
No.
Okay, good.
Something similar to the redneck rave, though.
Thank God.
We rented out the large, like, kind of courtyard area of this trailer park at a that's like an hour and a half north of Madison.
Yeah.
And me and my fraternity and 2 other fraternities banded together, and we did this, right? And then one of the kids cracked his head open and an ambulance came, and then all of us almost got kicked off campus.
Ah, damn. Sad ending to that story.
Now, that kid's fine. Unlike the guy who got a log impaled in his stomach.
Well, and what can I only assume will be years and years of therapy that it takes for all of the attendees to recover from the trauma of seeing these 5 events that we've just noted in and of themselves. Like, there was only a few thousand people here, right? So everybody is seeing the guy get his hand run over and go, ah, my fucking hand, or the dude slitting his pal's throat, or the woman being choked out over a blanket. Like, those are all going to be seen. I mean, it sounds like a bar fight in a Western. That's what this sounds like, except everybody's dressed like, you know, we dressed at all those white trash bashes we threw in college, which in hindsight, I feel like those almost should have made all the other questionably racist-themed events that we got in trouble for as Americans with fraternities and sororities okay, because we were mocking the whites, too. Just that, only the poor ones.
The event I'm referencing was exactly that. I was wearing jorts.
I want to be clear for new listeners. I am joking.
He's kidding.
I am kidding. Sometimes I don't. I just assume that everybody knows every episode I've ever done, so they know that I like don't reflect fondly upon my college days like it was some fucking cool thing I was a part of. Although they were fun, it was also just a goddamn mess and in a very questionable organization.
Mm-hmm.
And by that I mean not just the fraternity, but the entire school.
I actually was thinking about it. I wonder if all of these events were connected, right? So this dude gets impaled by a log. The mm-hmm. buddy is joking about slitting his buddy's throat, sees that, goes, slits his buddy's throat. They're trying to stop the bleeding on the guy's throat, so they're fighting over this blanket, trying to get the blanket to use as a tourniquet.
She was taking a nap. No. He was taking a nap. She's like, I need your blanket. This guy's throat's bleeding out. And he's like, fuck you, bitch, and starts choking her. She's like, God damn it, you selfish prick. We need the blanket. We're trying to save him with a tourniquet. Tourniquet? Whatever. And he's choking her. Like, you know, Homer choked Bart.
I don't think he's done that in like 15 years because of the implications of how bad that was.
Oh, you mean that it was blatant child abuse and you shouldn't choke your children? I'm pretty sure he still does it. I don't think they care. Fuck, dude. Like, if because that's the line for me. Like, if it gets done in The Simpsons, Homer choking Bart, and somebody goes, oh, I can choke my kid, like, then that's not The Simpsons' fault. Somebody is so stupid at that point. If you're using The Simpsons to justify the act of abusing your child, it's a fucking cartoon.
Yeah, I own the first, like, 12 seasons of The Simpsons on DVD, and...
So do me and my dad. I say me and my dad because they're in his house, but I feel like they're part mine.
Yeah, I have forgotten about how aggressively Homer chokes Bart by the...
Dude, he chokes the shit out of him. Like, shaking him aggressively, like... Yeah, it's a real.
That's terrible. I never thought about it through like the new lens.
I mean, he chokes him like a chicken.
He does.
Yeah. Redneck rave. So next one in October, I think. What he said, October, right? Yeah, October. We're all gonna go, obviously, because it seems totally safe and like it would be a good time. Jared, what if I told you we have a sponsor who makes pants that are good looking and comfortable enough that you could wear them to your next redneck rave and look like the fanciest lad in all the land while being cooler than all the other rednecks that are in pants because it's the hot, hot summer and you're at a redneck rave because you're in Bird Dogs, baby. And then you can jump straight to the pool wearing those same pants because they'll dry faster than a bathing suit. Bird Dogs.
Swim pants.
Making the most comfortable shorts in the world, which you can go swimming in or hit a workout in or go running in, go for a walk in the neighborhood. They also make pants for golf, for life, for love, for swimming in, because Jared and I are swimming in pants all summer, apparently. Mm-hmm. We've been making this joke for weeks now, and we can't walk away from it. So at some point, if someone could invite us to a pool so that we could swim in it with each other in our Bird Dogs pants, that would be much appreciated. We appreciate you. And what's more, Jared, do you remember when you were a little kid and you'd go to a fast food restaurant and get a toy with your meal? You remember that?
Yeah, it was like last week.
Yeah, sure. When you order Bird Dogs from birddogs.com using the code RBP, you are getting an awesome toy with your order always. There's some nunchucks behind me. Those used to be the toy. They also gave out rubber ventilated lawn cleats. Those were incredible at one point. Now, the best toy yet, in my opinion, the whistling football for summertime when you're out at the beach or the pool. It's like a Nerf. You know, you had a Nerf football when you were a kid, except it's a Bird Dogs football, and it whistles when you throw it. Not when Jared and I throw it back and forth because we're 2 feet from each other, but, you know, if you were letting it air out like fucking Brett Favre, then it would whistle. Just like that. Go to birddogs.com. Use the code RBP to support the podcast. Free whistling football with your order because you listen into RBP. It's not how that sentence was supposed to go. But you are wearing the most comfortable pants or shorts in the world with built-in underwear. And they have without built-in underwear if you don't want to be a wheel breaker. Birddogs.com. Code RBP. Free whistling football, baby. Birddogs.com. Code RBP. Next segment. T-Pain versus Usher.
Didn't know that this was a rivalry or a...
Feels
like,
pretty random,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, very funny, but also very sad mental health related story here.
Yeah, I watched the video last night, the kind of clip of this, and I was like...
This went everywhere yesterday.
Damn.
I mean, this clip was everywhere, and I found out why. It's because it's advertising for a Netflix show called This Is Pop. In one of the interviews, T-Pain is the subject, and it is revealed that he fell into a 4-year depression after Usher, you know Usher, Got It Bad, made a comment about T-Pain's use of autotune. And this clip has been everywhere, as I was saying. People are roasting the shit out of Usher, and here's why. T-Pain recalled in this clip that Usher and he were friends before this comment was made, and they were on a flight in 2013. They're on a plane together, and he's taking a nap. He's asleep. It's the first part that's extremely disrespectful. You don't wake a napping or sleeping man. Who are you? Not only that, he's woken by the stewardess on the plane or whatever, and what are they called now? Flight attendants. And the flight attendant says, sorry, Usher needs to see you in the back of the plane. So Usher sent someone up to wake T-Pain and send him back to him like he's the fucking godfather of R&B, which is insane. T-Pain goes to the back of the plane. At this point, as he puts it, he and Usher are kind of boys. Like, they have a comfortable, friendly relationship, at the very least. He called him a friend. Now, so I don't know how far that extends. He could have been a close friend, for all I know. But Usher told him, I'm going to tell you something, man. You kind of fucked up music.
Yeah, you can't say that to a musician.
And that T-Pain kind of chuckled like, what? And he was like, nah, man, you really fucked up music for real singers. Usher said that to T-Pain. And obviously there was a lot of controversy around the use of autotune. But like, have you ever heard T-Pain sing without autotune?
I think he's a better singer than Usher.
He's insanely talented. And every damn artist in the world uses autotune now, man. Half these rappers use it. Kanye made an entire album with it. Remember 808s and Heartbreak? You ever heard of that? I think Usher was pissed because T-Pain was a better songwriter and singer than he was. And he enabled other artists to find a tool that gave them the ability to make more music, which frankly put Usher in a tough spot because he was on the back end of his career and hasn't done dick since.
What is the last song Usher did? The only one I know is...
Was one of the last ones? Yeah,
Johnny, yeah, I don't mind.
I mean, there was a couple other ones, but like, dude, he hasn't been hot in a while. And Usher had a great run, no disrespect. But like, you don't fucking say shit like this to people, bruv. You got to be careful what you say to people, man. Especially if that shit isn't fair, you'll fuck them up. Usher is a hater. Plain and simple. Usher robbed us of years of T-Pain hits, man. Half the Gen Z rappers use autotune on every single damn song. Future, the rapper, formerly dating and has a child with Sierra, who is now married to
Russell
Seahawks
Wilson,
quarterback,
yes.
Russell Wilson. Future had an autotune installed in his actual voice box in his throat.
That's.
I might go buy an autotuner and make every episode of this podcast moving forward with it just to spite Usher because he's such a dick here.
You know that I know like not that much about music and you could... like, convince me Future actually had an autotuner in his throat. Is that true?
This is a quote from T-Pain related to the incident. That is the very moment, and I didn't even realize it for a long time, but that's the very moment that started a 4-year depression for me. And I just want to relate that to you. Having experienced depression in bits, in like waves, basically, as a result of the weaning off of this medication, and it's a fucking nightmare. A 4-year depression... yeah, that's like a lifetime. It feels like a lifetime. Like, every day is a slog, bro. It's like, it's a schlog? Is that what I mean to say? Schlog?
I think it's just slog. 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 Like slog. Run with schlog.
Schlog sounds like a mix of schlong and hog. That dude's got a schlog. Your Jared's hung like a schlog? Yeah, that's Jared's got a schlog for sure, though. Hashtag Jared has a schlog on Twitter, please. Excuse me. Back to the story. Yeah, anyway. To pretend that this man invented this thing is stupid. Was he the first artist to successfully use it to make us all happy with great hits and fall in love with a stripper? Yes. Is Usher a hater? Yes. And should T-Pain bear any responsibility for the overuse of autotune? Absolutely not. I love the Jay-Z song Death of Autotune, DOA. I played it over and over and over. I loved the music video in particular. Not because I hated autotune. I just liked the song. I thought Jay-Z was a hater too. I was like, what the fuck? Why do you care, bro? Why do you care what other people are using? Like, if you're so good then you shouldn't care. If you have the pure talent and you don't like that people are using this thing to like, fine, then crush them with pure talent. Like, don't bitch and moan like an impotent jerk in the back of the plane, calling people back like you're the fucking godfather. I haven't jammed Usher in a while, but if I was still jamming and I'm jamming him, I would definitely question that at this point. In a related story, Jared, in a music-related story, it reminds me of this historic Twitter rant that Tyler, the Creator, went on at one point several years back. Let me pull up the tweet so that I'm not misquoting the dates here, or it won't let me, and that would be unfortunate. But essentially, here's the story. Will.i.am told Tyler, the Creator, hey, man, like you're going to sell out like everybody else. Like, in 10 years, you'll be a sellout. And Tyler, the Creator, freaked out. Like, he basically was like, you don't believe that I can stay like a true artist and still have success. And he said that he was like, fuck you. I'm going to do the exact opposite of what you are saying I'm going to do just to spite you and show you that you can have success. And then he did that exact thing. He went and won a Grammy off of one of the more like, I mean, his original group was called Odd Future. One of the more odd hip hop albums you'll ever hear. It shouldn't even be classified. I think they gave him Urban Artist of the Year or some shit at one point, too. I remember he got really upset because he was like, what the fuck, man? Just because I'm black, my music has to be hip-hop or rap or like... It really isn't that. Like, the whole album is just different genres. All different genres. Like, he does all kinds of different songs in that thing.
I think Will.i.am might be the biggest sellout of all time. Think about all of his hits. You think those are, like, what he's passionate about? One of them is literally a bar mitzvah song. I don't think Will.i.am is Jewish.
I've got a feeling ruined a whole year of my life, Jared. Will.i.am is one of my least favorite people walking the earth before I heard this story that he shit on Tyler, like one of the more creative people that we've seen spring forth in music in the past 20 years. Dude, he should have beat that little man's ass right there. He should have taken off his stupid fucking hat that he was definitely wearing and smacked him across the face with it.
Yeah, I think if you want some more Will.i.am hate fuel, go to YouTube and look up. He played at the Wisconsin held like a pep rally at the Rose Bowl, and Will.i.am played at it, and he forgot the words to his own song, and it's just like na 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 na. It's so bad. So look that up. Wisconsin pep rally, Will.i.am.
So here's the string of tweets. He said that I made a bet with Will.i.am for $1 million that I will be making money 10 years from now doing what I love and not what makes the most.
Did he get paid? Has it been 10 years?
Did who give? I don't know if Will.i.am accepted this bet. I think he was just tweeting it into the atmosphere. He then said, Will.i.am said, quote, then you make a decision on what to do to survive, end quote. And Tyler says, no, that's not how it is for everyone. I'm not going to make music I hate. He's so talented, Tyler referring to Will.i.am. Will.i.am is so talented, but he's making butt shit to make bread. Use the creativity for something tight, man. I should have brought up the fact he tried to sue Pharrell on some fuck-ass shit, but I was so mad he indirectly said I was going to sell out. I can't believe this dude was plotting on my fucking downfall because he makes shit he hates and doesn't like himself. Will.i.am is a mark. This dude really walked up to me telling me about myself 10 years from now. Dude, fuck you. Now I'm going to go out of my way to prove you wrong. And I remember watching Tyler... the Creator tweet for years. And I was like, this motherfucker's unhinged outside of his goddamn mind. And that was not it at all. He just didn't give a fuck what anybody thought. He was going to use that platform to get his creative energy out. And it worked. Like, it brought me into his world because of the way he marketed himself was so different than anybody else I had ever seen. And it's something I brought up to you as like an inspiration for the way we should look at marketing when we do shit for our stuff, because I want it to look and feel different than other people's, right? And nobody, there's very few people who have succeeded on that level with marketing and music like Tyler has. And just being able to differentiate and still do whatever you want and not follow mainstream trends and create Grammy-winning work, and it's also incredibly enjoyable mainstream work, is the dream that Will.i.am will never know the feeling of. Because instead he's saying, I've got a feeling, and the feeling was that he should beat his own ass. I cannot tell you how much I fucking hated that song. If you've never heard me tell the story, I lived above a bar for 2 years, man. And every night at about 9 p.m., the song would come up through the floorboards of my bedroom. I've got a feeling, ooh. that tonight's gonna be a good night. And by the end of the song, I wanted to kill myself. Every single time.
What did you expect?
It didn't feel like it was gonna be a good night anymore, Jared. It felt like it was gonna be a fucking terrible night.
Why would you live above a bar?
That's an idiot. I have no idea. It was honestly one of the coolest places I've ever lived in my life. And I met some really dope people, some of whom are now dead. Rest in peace, Ollie. He was old. Not old like he should be dead, like older than me. He was in his 50s when I met him. He was one of the bar managers. I met all these interesting ass people is the point. It was really fun and enjoyable. But yeah, I drank too much and I had some dark moments in there for sure.
What bar?
Mostly because of Will I Am.
What bar did you live above?
It was called Jay's Bistro at the time. Since then, it was turned into a place called Taxis, and I'm not sure if Taxis still exists. I hope it doesn't.
Was that on the square?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool, actually.
It was cool. It was also terrible, but it was cool, but it was terrible.
Now, if you're the kind of person who lives above a bar, you're...
In college.
What you're saying is, I never intend to sleep until 2 a.m.
Yes.
Any night of the week.
Yes. Yes. And that you're mostly, that most nights of the week, you're going down to have some drinks and play pool and probably darts and maybe blackout and smoke cigarettes and hopefully have not too high of a bar tab.
Did you have like a direct entry into the bar that was not like circumvented the bouncer?
No. And if I did, I wouldn't have used it because it was way too much fun to walk up to the bouncer, dap him up, and just walk in without ever getting carded.
Yeah.
And anything that ever happened in this bar, like, I knew everybody that worked there, man. The bouncer's name was Angel, and he was fucking huge. He was like 6'7", maybe 280. He was fucking gigantic. It was like, remember that dude, what was his name? One of the wrestlers that was huge. Big Show. Was it Big Show? You're looking at me like not answering me like I'm not here. What the fuck's going on with you?
I don't know any wrestlers, dude. I'm not a wrestler guy.
The dude who had the black leotard on and he was goddamn bigger than everybody else. That dude.
Andre the Giant.
No, but the guy that came after Andre the Giant.
The Great Khali.
No, but Andre the Giant works fine. He was like a Mexican Andre the Giant. And I saw him throw people out and it was hysterical. It was like one hand shirt, you're gone. Bye-bye. Ejected. You didn't see where he landed, you know. Is Bella about to puke? Don't do it, Bella. No, she's good. She's just looking at the microphone.
That's a microphone, Bella.
Bella and Bruce are in here with us recording. Oh, nope. She's doing it. I knew it. She's puking. Jared, we got another puke mid-episode. This is three?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be okay. We'll leave it. Back to my story. So I knew everybody in the bar that worked at the bar, and I knew the bouncer, a huge dude. I knew one of the bartenders was a good friend of mine. His name was George. He's still down there. He has some ownership in some of the bars now, I believe. Bella, don't eat that. Back to your bed. Back to your bed, Bella. Back to your
Bella,
bed.
Get away.
Get away. Get away, Bella. Get away from it, Bella. Talk to her like you normally do, Jared. And
Bella.
Like at one point, as an example, I was sitting at a table and this dude sat down next to my girlfriend at the time. And he started like really obnoxiously hitting on her and he was super shit-faced. And I got up and was like, dude, get the fuck away from the table. What are you doing? And he was like, what are you doing? Get the fuck away from the table. And I was like, God damn it, I'm going to have to punch this dude and go to jail. And I just went... George! And George came out. George is a big dude, too, and like ran over from the behind the bar, grabbed his dude by the shirt, and ejected him. It was fucking tight. Like, I had some level of power in a bar, and then that was it. That was the last time I ever experienced what that
felt
like.
You just yelled, George?
George! He was 7 feet away behind the bar, but what did that have to do with anything? So, yeah, living above the bar was fun. And fuck Will I Am. Now it's time for insane headlines of the day. Here's your first one, Jared. Ex-MLB star Ben Zobrist's fraudulent pastor slept with his wife.
Okay, I need to preface this by saying I have met Ben Zobrist and spoke with him for 10 minutes. Very nice guy. I have a photo with him, which I will make the featured image of this podcast.
That's beautiful. I love that. Zobrist retired from a 14-season Major League Baseball career in March of 2020, okay, back during 2020 during the pandemic. He learned that his wife was having an affair with their pastor. Now, that's bad enough on the surface level. It gets much, much worse when you find out how intimately involved in Zobrist's life this pastor was. This same minister is now accused of defrauding Zobrist's charity, where he was employed. The 40-year-old ex-infielder is seeking $6 million in damages from this dude named Byron Yawn. the CEO of Forrest Crane & Co., a Nashville area business consulting firm. Yon is a former pastor and an elder at Community Bible Church in Nashville, where he met Zobrist and his wife, Juliana. Zobrist, a two-time World Series winner, filed the lawsuit in May, the Peoria Journal-Star obtained a copy of the court documents last week, and that's where all this information is coming from. Yon had begun talking. So again, Yon is the name of the guy that was the pastor. He had been talking daily with Zobrist's wife, Juliana, through burner phones in 2018, and a sexual relationship between the two began a year later.
Now, I need to jump in here with a personal anecdote.
Please
with Ben
do.
Zobrist. So Ben Zobrist, you know how every baseball player has walk-up music?
Yes.
Ben Zobrist's wife, Juliana, referenced in this story,
yes,
is a Christian pop artist, and his walk-up song was a song by his wife. For I think the entirety of the time he was on the Tampa Bay Rays.
So, complicated relationship. He took a 4-month leave from the Cubs in 2019 to address his marital problems with, this is important. After Robin Yon, Pastor Yon's wife, informed Zobrist about what she believed to be an emotional relationship between their spouses in May of 2019. So, at that point, the pastor's wife is concerned. She expresses concern. He decides 4-month leave, time to address the marriage, make sure everything's good. During that span, he loses $8 million in income, according to the lawsuit, okay?
That's a lot.
$8 million in income. I also have a question.
Yeah.
You guys had burner phones in 2018 and your sexual relationship didn't begin for a year?
That doesn't seem accurate.
Burner phones for a year and you went burner phone pre-sex? What the fuck?
I will say him and his wife are both extremely religious.
Makes sense.
So maybe it took him a little longer to get the uglies bumping?
I don't know. Yon provided the couple with marriage counseling in 2019 and counseled the 2016 World Series MVP on dealing with his anxiety and depression, which makes this all the more twisted because this dude, again, intimate access to the relationship, intimate access to Zobrist's personal mental health, and was marriage counseling the couple while pounding out his wife.
So why would, if somebody's, okay, his wife went to Ben and said, hey, I think your wife is having an emotional relationship with my husband. And so Ben said, oh, the best way to fix this is to have your husband counsel me and my wife's marriage?
Listen, man, I'll tell you, these religious situations like this can get really, really, really manipulative. It wasn't until June of 2020 when Zobrist learned that his wife had a sexual relationship with their minister. Juliana admitted that she lied to her husband about the nature of the affair in a written admission in the divorce proceedings. He filed for divorce in 2019 in May. She filed a countercomplaint in March of 2020. Both cases are still pending. They've been married 16 years, 3 kids, I believe. During the period when their marriage began to deteriorate, Zobrist was discussing his marital troubles with Byron Yon, who encouraged him to give his wife some space. And according to text messages between the two, Juliana Zobrist had been speaking to divorce lawyers. So this dude snaked the shit out of this man, and now he's getting his dick suit off for $6 million. And I'm going to bet he gets a good chunk of that. Or this dude, whatever he's got, I don't know if he's going to have $6 million, but he's probably going to get whatever he can. Because that's a lot of fraudulent shit, bro. You cannot be counseling a couple and also banging one of the two people in the relationship.
Now the issue is, he lost $8 million
in salary
by leaving to deal with this. He'd have to get at least that much to make it worth it.
I think he's figuring like, all right, if I ask for the $8, they're not going to give me that. If I ask, I don't know. I don't really know. There must be some reason he's not asking for the full salary loss though.
He was one of the, I've met a decent amount of Rays players because there's this event where you go and like talk to the players.
Yeah.
Because my parents.
Jared, a big Tampa Bay's Rays. Oh, yeah. Tampa Bay's Rays.
My parents were season ticket holders. They owned, back in the day, they owned 2 season tickets out of a total of 400, making my parents 0.5% of the entire Rays season ticket holder.
Okay, that's intense.
Oh yeah. And so Ben Zobrist, by far the nicest person I met. Somebody who was not that nice, Johnny Damon, just like showed up, did one walk through, waved, and then my brother asked him if Jorge Posada peed on his hands, and Johnny Damon said he didn't know anything about that, and then Johnny Damon left.
How does that make Johnny Damon not nice? I feel like he did a pretty good job.
He just walked up and left. He also
what else is he supposed to do? Stay and hug you?
He also knows whether or not Jorge Posada pees on his hands, which is a rumor about Jorge Posada.
He just didn't want to tell you.
Well, that's kind of rude.
How is that rude? It's none of your business.
My parents are season ticket holders, Ross.
Okay, that's a good point. You should have brought that up, though. He didn't know.
But yeah, Ben Zobrist, I feel really bad for him. Super nice guy.
Yeah, fucked up situation. Yeah. Hope he gets that money. Speaking of sports, hashtag sports. If you bet on sports and don't use our sponsor, mybookie.ag, you absolutely should. Feel ashamed and change and use them. Great service. You're not only getting action, but supporting the show at the same time. So if you already bet on sports, they've got a great website, all the bets you could possibly want, the props, the live lines, the futures. The casino is awesome as well. They've been huge supporters of the show throughout the pandemic. We appreciate them very much. Have fun. Gamble responsibly. Hit mybookie.ag. Use that code RBP to support the show. Get that deposit bonus. I share my picks on Twitter fairly often. I obviously watch a ton of sports. I'm betting on NBA a lot right now. NBA playoffs going on. But been getting into some baseball. The Astros are hot again. Waiting for the MLB playoffs to come close, and then we'll get into that as well.
Well, the Lightning.
I checked the score yesterday, and I think they were up 7-0.
Yeah, I believe they might have won 8-0. It's truly a remarkable butt-whooping.
In a playoff game.
Yeah.
I think they were up substantially in the first period, if I'm not mistaken.
They went three goals, and then it was one or two in the last period.
Yeah, that's a beating.
Braden Point is on an 8-game goal-scoring streak in the playoffs.
Okay, that's insane.
Unbelievable.
NHL playoffs, ton of fun. Bet them as well at mybookie.ag. Use that code RBP, sign up, support the show, snatch that deposit bonus, and get your sports betting needs taken care of by MyBookie, our sponsor here on the Ross Boland Podcast. MyBookie.ag, code RBP when you sign up. Next insane headline of the day, Jared. Subway co-founder Fred DeLuca ruled the company like a demigod and pursued wives of franchisees. How one man sent the world's biggest fast food chain into a tailspin. So he did this, there's this insider piece, not he did, Kate Taylor, did an insider segment on Subway's founder, Fred DeLuca, and the relationship between Subway and this founder that's complicated now. That shows that they've been struggling with leadership for a very long time. This dude passed away in 2015, okay, 6 years ago, age of 67. And apparently everything since with Subway has been a fucking disaster. His business and personal life was a mess, and it revealed everything as after the fact. It revealed that he cheated on his wife with multiple franchisees' wives.
That's some Ray Kroc shit.
He went full Ray Kroc, though. This is from the insider thing. It says... During DeLuca's reign as Subway's leader, he was known to have very few boundaries, if any at all. A business associate told Insider, "If you wore a skirt and had a pulse, he would chase you." The associate went on to say, "He always felt that he could go and approach any woman at Subway conventions because he was responsible for their husband's success in stores," which is the most ridiculous, like, narcissistic nonsense. Like, this dude's like, "I employ your husband. What do you think about that? You want to fuck?" Like, what a scumbag. In 2000, the company calendar featured half-clothed male executives posing in various locations, like a shower and a conference room. Pause. DeLuca himself was the January model. I would note January is the first month of the year. In his photo, he's sitting shirtless in his office holding a champagne glass and a sign that says executive office on it.
So they, okay, who was this? Was this like, oh, an impulse buy at a Subway? Just buy the Subway executive sexy calendar? Where do you sell this?
It's the company calendar, Jared. I got to question any company that has their employees featured half clothed in their company calendar, and it's just their executives, by the way, which makes it even more inappropriate. Especially when DeLuca makes himself January and takes off his shirt with a glass of champagne that says executive office on it. What's the implication there, Jared? Executive office. Everybody knows you're the fucking founder. DeLuca had he left no plan for succession. The show Succession on HBO is honestly based on this. After his passing in 2015, shortly after the chain's popular spokesman, Jared Fogle, who did damage to the Jareds worldwide, mm-hmm. was arrested for distributing child pornography and traveling to have sex with minors.
Wait, minors? Like in a coal mine?
Yeah. DeLuca, no. Underage children.
Oh, okay.
DeLuca's sister, Suzanne Greco, served as CEO until she was forced out in 2018. One franchisee called her a, quote, pathetic, poor copy of Fred. Nice. The board, led by Peter Buck and Elizabeth DeLuca, hired the current CEO, John Chidsey, in late 2019. Chidsey, a former CEO of Burger King, came out of retirement to take the position. He has since slashed over 500 corporate jobs and wrecked relationships with franchisees, much as he did when he was at Burger King, according to Insider. I had no idea that Subway had so much drama, but I definitely didn't know that their founder was a total psycho who was trying to bang all the franchisees' wives.
Now, how do you, if you're this John Chidzy guy, how do you ruin relationship with franchisees more than DeLuca, who's banging their wives?
That's a really good question. Like, was he going over to their stores and taking a shit on the ground?
Probably not even as bad. Also, a lot of people forget that Subway is the biggest fast food restaurant in the world. More locations.
It was. Now it's, I think it's like a, it's, that's what this part of this is about, how apparently Subway is a total mess. Like, it's just failing.
It's horrible. It's Subway.
Like, financially, it's a wreck.
Well, it is the worst sub shop in the world.
I mean, it's the worst anything shop in the world, dude.
I'd rather have a pre-made sandwich from 7-Eleven than Subway.
We make a lot of fun of Popeyes for not giving you the right order, but at least they give you good food no matter what it is. Subway's just in front of your eyes making you garbage. They're like slopping it together. I just looked down at Bell's puke. Slopping it together right in front of your face. You have to watch it suck as it's being prepared before it sucks in front of you and you eat it.
The best memes, though, are when people... customers of Subway will take a picture of the Subway sandwich artist who's taking a picture of that person's sub because they're like, look at this shitty sub I'm making this person. And they're like, take a picture.
Look how fucking bad I am at my job.
Really, look, she wanted a spinach sandwich.
God.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah. I haven't been to Subway in a really long time. Man,
it's so bad.
It's not good. The Subway peaked at Happy Gilmore. That was it.
The worst thing is, too, people would be like, oh, well, you need to get this. If I have to order one thing on the menu it to be palatable, I'm not going there.
I'm sorry. You need to get this, guy, about if you're talking Subway, just fuck right off. Are you serious? Are you serious? Sir, this is a Subway. Today's episode of RBP is also brought to you by Stamps.com. Are you still going to the post office? Still paying full price for postage?
Yes.
Well, thanks to Stamps.com, Jared, you don't have to anymore. Mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay less. A lot less with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Stamps.com saves businesses thousands of hours and tons of money every year. We've used them a ton at Boland Media. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. A must-have for any business, whether you're a small office sending invoices or you have like a side hustle Etsy shop shipping out orders, or you're just navigating this hybrid work life, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. No wonder over 1 million businesses choose Stamps.com for their mailing and shipping. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it, Jared. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. It's that simple with Stamps.com. You get discounts up to 40% off post office rates, up to 60% off UPS shipping rates, not to mention Stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of these expensive postage meters. Stamps.com, it's a no-brainer. Saves you time, saves you money. No wonder nearly 1 million small businesses already use it. Stamps.com. Stop wasting time going to the post office. Use Stamps.com instead. There's no risk. And with the promo code RBP, you get a special offer, 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale, no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in RBP, that's Stamps.com, promo code RBP, Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Next segment.
Grab your light, this is Stop the Wikipedia when you're high.
Bella puked during that ad read, and if you heard me start laughing, like, that was why. And if you skipped the ad read, you should go back and listen. And when I started laughing, Bella puked again. Man, I don't know what the fuck she ate, man. Like, but there's just two piles of puke, one on either side of Jared, and it's kind of distracting, honestly. But
it's distracting for you, okay.
Does it smell?
No. It's not like when the dog pooped in here.
I have to see it, is the thing. You don't have to see it. You're welcome.
You know what? I'll look at it.
Thank you. That's right. Look at it. All right. Today's Stuff to Wikipedia When You're High is something that came up, not that recently, but on the show before. And it's the Dave Matthews Band Chicago River Incident. Now, to preface this, I was a really big Dave fan growing up. And
I'm
I know
still
that's
a Dave
like,
fan.
Look, most, I'm still a Dave fan too. I'm still a Dave fan too. I just mostly listen to his older shit from when I was younger. And like when I was a little kid in high school, man, and like shit hit the fan in my house, and like smoking weed was my escape, and Dave was my dude. We jammed Dave Matthews. I hung out with these fucking rich private school kids in their giant parents' houses where we could smoke weed on the third floor and nobody even knew, and it was that loud, but it didn't matter because the parents were so far away on the third floor away that it was, we just jammed Dave up there, man. Fucking Satellite. I played that song a billion times.
That's a great Dave jam.
It's an all-time jam. Ants Marching, Two-Step is one of my all-time favorites.
The Best of What's Around. The Idea of You.
The Idea of You is an all-timer.
Dream Girl.
Look, man, he's got a lot of really good songs. Does he write some cheesy lyrics on occasion? Yes. Bella, what is going on with you? But Dave Matthews and his band did have this notorious incident that happened many, many years ago.
Yes.
2004, okay? On August 8th, 2004, over the Kinzie Street Bridge in Chicago, Illinois, a tour bus belonging to the Dave Matthews Band dumped an estimated 800 pounds of human waste from the bus's septic tank onto a passenger sightseeing boat on the Chicago River below. The resulting controversy led to more than $300,000 in settlements, donations, and fines. The band's bus driver, Stephen Wohl, pled guilty to dumping the waste in March 2005. Now we can get into the nitty gritty of the story. So, but that's the gist of it, right?
Yeah.
Pretty insane.
I knew the story, and I brought it up, and somebody DM'd me, and was like, dude, you undersold this story when you told it on the podcast?
800 pounds.
800 pounds. Okay, so I was wondering this. 1P, how much liquid weight is that?
Jared, I still don't believe the figure, because a bus, if you told me, man, how many pounds of shit do you think you can fit in a bus? And I mean the whole bus, not like the septic tank of the bus. I'd be like, I don't know, 500 pounds worth of shit? Like, think about how much shit shit's not like all solid. It doesn't weigh that much. You need a lot of shit, human shit. And liquid weighs even less. But, I mean, 800 pounds of poo and pee is just an ungodly amount. So let's get into what happened here. The Dave Matthews Band had booked rooms at the Peninsula Hotel of 108th East Superior Street for a two-night show at a venue in East Troy, Wisconsin.
Shouts to Alpine Valley. That is where I've seen Dave. I believe I've seen him there three or four times. East Troy, Wisconsin, Alpine Valley Ski Resort. They have this beautiful amphitheater.
Shouts to Woodlands Mitchell Pavilion, where I've seen three times, mm-hmm. in Houston. Awesome, awesome place. Also, too far away for my liking. It would be like we have the F1 track thing here.
Yeah, yeah.
What's it called?
Coda.
It's like that. It's that distance where it's just like, I just wish it was a little closer.
I mean, East Troy is probably like an hour outside Milwaukee. It's pretty far. It's in the middle of nowhere.
I feel like the Woodlands Mitchell Pavilion is too. Okay, so the incident occurred between the first and second night of the concert. The band booked five buses for its show. Accused bus driver Stephen Wohl drove the bus of Dave Matthews Band violinist Boyd Tinsley.
Love Boyd.
Is he still with us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Who passed away? Which one?
The saxophonist.
Oh, yeah. Rest in peace. During warm months, the Chicago Architecture Foundation offers a boat tour of the buildings alongside the Chicago River. This is funny because I've been on this tour. The boats have open roof seating where passengers sit for the duration of the tour. You've seen these in movies and stuff if you haven't been on one of them yourself. But if you ever go to Chicago and it's not too, too hot, you should go on one of these because they're highly enjoyable and you get to see some really, really amazing architecture around the city. That is the closest thing to Gotham we have in the United States. Most Chicago bridges feature riveted grating, which is used for its strength and anti-slip properties. Riveted grating allows rain and other liquids to pass through, removing need for complicated drainage systems. So on Sunday at August 8th at 2004 at 1:18 p.m., bus driver Wohl drove over the Kinzie Street Bridge and emptied the contents of his bus's septic tank through the open metal grate, intending to deposit it into the Chicago River below. The bus's tank was full, containing 800 pounds of human waste, which brings me back to the question of how. And then, the more important thing that we've learned since, this is just Boyd Tinsley's. Which brings me to think that it had to have been this dude forgot. And that Boyd went and took like one more shit and was like, yo, Stephen, the toilet looks like it's full, bro. And Stephen just went, oh, we're about to go over a bridge. I got this.
I didn't know that buses had a, like,
800 pounds.
You know the like old airplane thing? Oh, we're going low. Drop the load.
Sure.
I didn't know that. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, sure.
When the plane's too full and they gotta climb, so they drop the load, and there's a button in like the cockpit that says drop the load, and in the back of the plane opens up and all the stuff flies out the back. I don't know. We had that for poop and tour buses.
Get off my plane. You ever seen Air Force One?
I've had it with these snakes on this plane. That's from Snakes on a Plane.
These motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
No, wasn't it these monkey-sniffing snakes on this Monday to Friday plane?
Yes, that was it. That was it. Earlier, passenger boat Chicago's Little Lady left Navy Pier at its 1 o'clock p.m. scheduled boat tour departure. While passing under the bridge, the boat received the full contents of the tank on the seats of its open roof terrace. Roughly two-thirds of the 120 passengers aboard the tour boat were soaked in Boyd Tinsley's shit and piss. The boat immediately returned to Navy Pier, where all passengers were issued refunds. Yeah, I would hope so. Five passengers went to Northwestern Memorial Hospital for testing, which is what... I'm sorry. Only five of them were like, I'm going to go get tested, bro. That was poop and pee. And maybe Boyd's a bathroom jacker. Who knows?
It might be. Yeah, that part was surprising. You think more people would be like, oh, I might have hepatitis.
I'm going to go to the... Yeah, everybody should have gone to the hospital.
Now, do you...
Hold on, it gets worse. Oh, according to the Illinois Attorney General, passengers aboard included persons with disabilities, the elderly, a pregnant woman, a small child, and an infant. The filing also describes the incident further. Quote, the liquid waste was brownish-yellow in color and had a foul, offensive odor. The liquid human waste went into passengers' eyes, mouths, hair, and onto clothing and personal belongings, many of which were soaked. Some of the passengers suffered nausea and vomiting as a result of exposure to the human waste. Boyd, what did you eat?
I feel bad for Boyd.
I do too. This isn't his fault at all, but his human poop and piss was sprayed all over 120 people. Immediately following the incident, evidence as to the identity of the bus driver or bus was unclear to the Chicago Police Department, who stated they were investigating the incident but did not consider it a crime. I don't know how it couldn't be a crime. On August 9th, the Chicago Architecture Foundation released a statement that a witness had recorded license plate information, which they turned over to the police as evidence.
Narc.
On August 10th, bus driver Jerry Fitzpatrick, who also drove for the band, was identified as the owner of the bus's license plate. In a phone interview, Fitzpatrick denied to a Chicago Tribune reporter that he had dumped the waste, asserting that he was parked in front of the band's hotel at the time. A publicist for the Dave Matthews Band issued a statement in response saying that the band's management had determined that every one of its buses were parked at the time of the incident. Liars! Fitzpatrick, who was in Effingham, Illinois at the time, instructed Sergeant Paul Gardner of the Effingham Police Department to inspect the bus's septic tank to prove that he could not have emptied it because it was, in fact, still full of waste. Nearly full. State prosecutors worked with a nearby fitness gym, the East Bank Club, to determine the offending bus based on the gym's security videotapes. This thing goes deep, Jared.
Oh, yeah.
All the way to the fucking top. On August 24th, Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan launched a $70,000 lawsuit against Wohl, alleging that he was responsible for the dumping. Wohl denied dumping the waste and was supported by the band. Little did they know, they had security footage. On August 25th, Mayor Richard M. Daley held a press conference in which he released the videotape used as evidence. At that time, Dave Matthews and all of the band felt stupid. Daley also expressed his belief that the dumping was, quote, absolutely unacceptable, end quote, but that he believed the Dave Matthews Band was, quote, a very good band, end quote.
I agree with all of that.
In March 2005, Wohl pleaded guilty to reckless conduct and discharging contaminants to cause water pollution. He was sentenced to 18 months of probation as well as 150 hours of community service, and he paid a $10,000 fine to Friends of the Chicago River, an environmental organization responsible for maintaining the river. And I have to say, he really got off scot-free there. So the Dave Matthews Band ended up donating an additional $50,000 to Friends of the Chicago River, as well as $50,000 to the Chicago Park District, and paid the state of Illinois $200,000 as a settlement. That makes it more sound to me. But Wohl's individual punishment is light as fuck, bro. Like, I did 3.5 years of probation, and I didn't dump any feces on anybody. Blippi piss or shit on his own friend's ass, and he's not in jail at all. He's the most famous and rich child entertainer in the world today.
You do have a nice pair of shoes above you, though. What are those?
Those are, what are those? Some fucking Yeezys, Jared. That's what they look like to me.
They're nice. Yeah, people, you know, when it comes to Dave Matthews, people don't like to talk about this very much. But you got to think they have like a sense of humor about it, right? Like they didn't, they weren't like, hey, whoa, jump the poo. Like they're not responsible for what this rogue bus driver did, okay? They should just start laughing about it.
It's the Yeezy Boost 350 Moonrock.
Ooh.
Moonrock.
Can I have them?
That's the one I was looking for. I couldn't remember. No, you can't have them. No, I mean, this guy fucked up. He knew he was on a bridge. He knew the bridge had grading. He was trying to dump it into the river. You shouldn't dump
feces. Why would you do that? Why would you dump it into the river even if there was no boat there?
Because he's an asshole. This guy's an asshole.
You don't just dump poop and pee into a river and toilet paper.
Not Boyd Tinsley's poop and pee, Jared. Certainly not.
Unbelievable story.
So the Dave Matthews Band additionally agreed to keep a log of when and where its buses empty their septic tanks.
A log.
No passengers suffered any long-lasting health effects from the exposure. My ass. They all have PTSD and you know it. Nobody can get shit or pissed on by Boyd Tinsley and not suffer the after effects. Nobody.
Satellite. In my eyes, like a diamond in the sky, how I wonder.
What a great song. this has been another episode of the Ross Bolin Podcast with me, Ross Bolin, and him, Jared Borislow. We hope you enjoyed yourselves. Follow me at WR Bolin, everywhere at WRBOLEN, and follow Jared at Jared Borislow, at JARED. You know how to spell Jared, just like Jared Fogle. And then Borislow is Borislow, Jared Borislow. Follow RBP on social, at the Ross Bolin Podcast on TikTok and Instagram, at Ross Bolin Pod on Twitter. Share our stuff when you see it and you like it. Retweet it, like it, share it, tag a friend, put it in your Instagram story, retalk it.
Spit on it.
Twitch on it. What is it? Stitch on it. Spit on it, bae. Support our sponsors. Support them. All of them. Stamps.com, promo code RBP. BirdDogs.com, promo code RBP. And of course, what was the other one?
MyBookie.
Oh, yeah, MyBookie.ag, code RBP. For all three, it's that easy. MyBookie, BirdDogs, Stamps.com, code RBP. Get on Patreon for ad-free Friday episodes. We've got another one dropping this Friday. Ad-free and unhinged every Friday on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Jared and I drop an additional episode full of great content, just like the Monday and Wednesday shows, except it's a little bit more unhinged, and there's no ads breaking up the show at all. And it's supported entirely by you. We do these episodes in hopes that you will go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast and support the show with a monthly pledge of $5 or more. Just $5, though, will get you into the RBP gang, where you get all the ad-free Friday episodes, as well as a monthly update on Bolin Media, which is coming out in the next week, I will add, in column form. And you could join the Enforcer tier for $10 or more and get 6 columns total in the full month of each month, as well as 2 mental health minisodes, one of which is being released today on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, where I talk about several different great topics, all of which are mental health related, and about a 15-20 minute quick hitting fun episode for you to enjoy on your commute at some point if you're already all caught up on all the other RBPs.
It begins 6 columns from now until the end of the month if you subscribe to Patreon right now. Don't believe us? Subscribe.
Go right now, $5. Well, if you want the 6 columns in total, $10, patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. But just the $5 RBP gang tier will get you the ad-free Friday episode coming out on Friday as well. So we appreciate all of you who are already there. It means a lot. You're the backbone of everything that Jared and I get to do. You're the reason that we get to do what we get to do. I got to pay this man, pay me, keep the lights on, pay for all the equipment, make sure we keep growing and showing. So go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast today to ensure that we do, and support our sponsors when they're interesting and you like them. We try to bring out only sponsors that we love and personally use all of their products. So if you ever hear one that interests you, Jared and I vouch for them. If you ever have a question about one, DM us. We can try to help you out. Birthdays. Happy birthday to my first ever serious girlfriend, Tanya. Thank you for being an inspiration to so many. Also, happy birthday to Kim with a Y. Your mom is awesome. She's one of our biggest supporters. Have a great birthday, girl. Jared and I will be back Friday. Ad-free. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Jared, any other final phrases or parting gestures?
Satellite.
No, we're not just going to sing Satellite again, Jared. I know you want to, but that's not. We'll be back on Friday. We love you all.
Crash into me.
Crash into me. Hey, did you know? Okay, this is a good closing anecdote. Did you know one time I had a youth pastor tell me, he said, he's up there preaching. He's like, you have to be real careful about what music you listen to. I'm going to play you a song. He plays Crash. You know, Dave Matthews. Crash into me. And at one point it sounds like that. That wasn't the chorus.
That's
at
the end.
He breaks out into the end. And he played it and we were like, tight, that was Dave, righteous. And he was like, that song is about sex, premarital sex. And if you listen to that song and enjoy it, you're way more likely to have premarital sex and burn in hell. And I just remember being like, bro, I think it's just a song. Like, I don't really know why you got to make it all that. And I'm 13 years old. Now I'm going to look into the lyrics and see what they mean. And then I did, and I was like, damn, this is pretty sexual. And now that I'm older, I really know it's sexual. But he didn't have to do that. That was stupid. Doug, you should have thought harder about what you were doing there. It's the same shit with how they said. Every day I show up to school, and they said one thing. Ross, don't smoke cigarettes. And then they sent me home. Guess what I did the first chance I got? I smoked fucking cigarettes. What's wrong with y'all? It's like they told Will.i.am not to do that song. What do you do?
I got a feeling.
Fucked up our whole lives, all of us. That dude caused COVID. They haven't looked into that shit yet. Wuhan is not to blame. It's Will.i.am. All right, we'll be back soon. Good tidings. Billy and the Bone Man, out.